Good morning, Wake Up HCC. Welcome to this beautiful Tuesday, September 28th. It is 10:06 in this morning, in this beautiful fall morning. And I am really excited to be here with you today to be talking about and celebrating really, you know, the arts here at HCC. If you haven't heard Dr. Kate Hetherington, it's her last week with us. She's retiring. So there's a lot of festivities. There's a lot of celebration. And in this show, we are going to also start a conversation to talk about that and to celebrate, you know, all of the years that Dr. Hetherington has been here. My guest this morning is Janelle Broderick. She is the director of the Horowitz Performing and Visual Arts Center. And Janelle, as we were preparing and as we were talking about, you know, the things that we wanted to make sure we covered today and we brought to all of our listeners and our viewers, you made sure to say, I want to talk about and you know, take some time to really thank Dr. Hetherington for her role all of these years through the arts. So I want to start a conversation with that, because the fact that you made sure to say, I have to acknowledge her, I have to say thank you for all of her work, tells me that she was a big influence in all of these years here at the Arts at HCC. So let's start with that, Janelle. Thank you for joining me. Welcome to our show. And, you know, what would you like Dr. Hetherington to know?
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. It's good to be here with you this morning. Yes, Kate has been so supportive of the arts. And I just have to say, it's in my personal experience as a student, when she was in a different role in the college, when I was a student here, her support of all of the, you know, academic areas, including the visual and performing arts, made an impact as a student. To know that the upper administration of the college was supportive of all endeavors, academic and creative, really, you know, touches a student and makes them feel valued and feel like they're on the right path to get that support. So over the years, Kate has been in attendance at our concerts and plays and dance concerts and in our art gallery. And she doesn't just show up. She engages with the artists and the patrons and sees the value of the arts. And that just means so much to all of us, to the students, to the faculty, and to the staff. So I cannot thank her enough for her support over the years. It really has been really valuable.
Some of your favorite memories, Janelle, you know, it sounds like you've experienced, you know, in different levels as a student, then, you know, actually as a coworker, really, you know, part of the group here at HCC. What are some of your most favorite memories maybe that you have with her that, I mean, you just talked about her engagement and her coming, not just to enjoy, but to actually be an active part of it. So I'm sure you've had some opportunities and you have some good memories to share with us.
I do. You know what? She might not even remember this, but when I was graduating, I was invited to a sort of gathering of students who had been selected as, you know, student of the year in their area. And it was a small gathering at someone's home. I don't even know, but she took the time and came over and congratulated me and asked, what are your plans? What has inspired you? What has your experience been like at the college? And took the time to ask, not just say, good job, but to say, what is your inspiration? What are you looking for in your further education, in your career? And that just meant so much. And those experiences I hear often about of interactions that she has with the students and faculty and staff around campus, taking a genuine interest in the success of everyone on campus.
You know, I've had the same experience. I've heard the same stories. I've had the opportunity to talk to some alumni from our college, current students as well. And that's what I continue to hear. And then on my conversations with Kate, it's her heart really shows up, you know, in big ways, where she really talks about that and she really understands, coming from a background of a community college herself, you know, the importance of that connection, of that understanding, of making sure that our students knew that they were not just a number, that they really were people, that we really had them at our heart, at her heart, that they, you know, she couldn't talk to everybody, but I know she tried. I, you know, during lunchtime, it's not unusual to go to the cafe and see her and, you know, saying hello. And if somebody approaches her, if she, you know, she will stop. She will stop. She might not have all the time in the world to talk to you right there and then, but she was not afraid of engaging. She was actually looking forward to engaging with everybody here. So I think that's one of the things that I'm going to miss the most about, you know, Kate retiring, that she's not going to be on campus. She's not going to be that friendly face. And I always thought that was really special to know that the president of the college appreciates the food that we have here, comes and eats here in this same space where, you know, students, staff, faculty is. And I thought that was really heartwarming, really humbling, because it really was showing that she was part of HEC. She was not just the president. She was part of HEC, and she wanted to make sure that the students knew that, and all of us here at HEC knew that. So, yeah, I agree with you, and I think that no matter who you talk to around campus, I think that if you had a chance to experience and interact with Kate, I think we all have that shared experience. Let's go ahead and talk about what's coming up this month in the arts. You know, what better way to celebrate that, continue the work that you know, she so proudly pushed forward and that she was trying to really inspire all of us here at HEC to build, right? So let's start with the art galleries today. And, you know, I know that there's a couple of events coming up, specifically talking about the Rouse Company Foundation Gallery that's currently featuring, and I'm probably not saying this word right, but I'm going to try it, Combolissa. And I think it's important, you know, why I'm saying this word is because I found so much richness just on that name, you know, starting from the name of it, that's in Swahili. How easy would it have been for the artist to just put the translation, right, of the name as the main name for the exhibit? But she decided she was going to keep that name, you know, Linnea Poole. And we've mentioned her before, and we've talked about her exhibit before, Janelle, but I went online, I looked at some of the pictures, some of the images. I've been to the gallery, and it's really powerful. So tell us a little bit about what's coming up, you know, with Combolissa.
Yes. This past weekend was our first gallery reception back since re-emerging from the pandemic. So it was really beautiful to invite Linnea and her friends and family to celebrate her work in the gallery. And the you mentioned that she has been featured here before. Last year, we had her virtual exhibit online. And this year is different work in the gallery. And we really hope people come and witness this in person. What Linnea creates is multimedia, and she hand dyes fabrics and photographs women in the fabrics to reflect their interaction with the material. And also part of this exhibit is part of a documentary that you mentioned. Combolissa is the title, and that is Swahili for mourning. So the topic is mourning, which, you know, I'm going to interview her for In the Spotlight in the next couple of weeks. And I'm really looking forward to talking to her about addressing a topic that some people really shy away from, right? Talking about mourning is not easy. And it's not something, a conversation that people would often just try to bring up and put out there. But what I found standing in the gallery watching this documentary is that it's nice to get over sort of the taboo of talking about difficult subject matter. And there's also so much beauty in what she creates that It's just a wonderful experience to go down there. So in the gallery right now, you'll see some of the fabrics and the photography. And also there's two pieces of video. Here we have some of her pieces. And the video, there's one area where you can put on headphones and just listen and watch. And then there's another area where there is a bench. You can sit and you can listen and just take it in. If you're on campus, what's kind of nice right now, campus is a little bit quiet still. We don't have all of our classes in person. So you can actually find a moment to go down to the gallery and sit and take it in and take a moment and really reflect.
You know, and part of the reason why I wanted to make sure that I used the name, the original name, was because, you know, when I understood and when I read the background of the exhibit and I saw that it talked about mourning, I was like, this is a palpable, tangible way, you know, the use of fabric of expressing something so ethereal, something, you know, this deep feeling that, as you said, we shy away from. And how important, I couldn't stop thinking, Janelle, how important it is in this times of COVID-19, where we have all experienced it, right? We've all experienced loss in some way. We've lost people, we've lost jobs, we've lost just so many different things, opportunities to go on trips, you know, just family gatherings, just so much loss. How beautiful to have this opportunity right here at HCC and experience in a tangible way to maybe look at fabric in a different perspective, in a different view. And I'm wondering if you've had that experience or if you've heard maybe from her or from somebody else, you know, who has come to the exhibit, you know, how that space has helped them, as you were saying, you know, to reflect, to really allow those experiences, those feelings to flourish, and hopefully start some healing through that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to speaking with her and sort of getting some feedback on the interaction that she had with the patrons who attended the reception on Saturday, because there was a great turnout and there was conversation. You know, of course, people are trying to be a little bit quiet because of the audio in the room with the multimedia exhibit. So, yeah, I'd love to hear what kind of feedback she heard from the people who are in attendance. And she has such a joyful spirit. It's easy to approach her and have a conversation. One of the things that really strikes me is that I feel the exhibit really emphasizes that from mourning, you can gain a new appreciation for joy and for life in your surroundings. And I think that's something that can really strike a chord with people. There's so much to be grateful for.
Absolutely, absolutely. We don't want to stay in that pain. We want to flourish and we want to evolve from that. And you know, maybe this exhibit, if you are going through some things, maybe you are feeling some things, maybe come to HCC, come to the gallery and experience this. Allow yourself to come and explore, you know, mourning in a different way through this exhibit here with Linnea Poole. I know we also have another exhibit, very different, at the Talking Family Art Gallery, and that's featuring Technicolor Familiar. And tell mm-hmm. us a little more about you know, this approach and about, you know, this really different, in my opinion, at least, is something that is very unique to me that I had not explored, I had not been exposed to before. So tell us a little more about that one, Janelle.
Sure. So Technicolor Familiar features an artist who is a former HCC student, Emma K. McDonnell. And we actually featured her last year through a virtual exhibit as well. So what's beautiful about this opportunity is that if you can't make it to campus, if you're still, you know, teleworking most of the time, if you're studying at home, if you're taking online classes, you can experience most of these works also through the virtual exhibit. But I have to say, being in the space with these pieces helps you see them in a different way. You see this texture. There's pieces that that Emma created that I was able to see online last year, but now in person, you notice all these little different details. There's one of some goats that is, has like four different goats, and then they almost have a halo around them. So it's really been interesting to see the detail that you don't see online, you can see in person. So what Emma does is that she creates on small, this exhibit is featuring small works, like 5x7 pieces of paper that she uses ink to create these illustrations that are just beautiful. And I have to put a little bit of a story and a personal note in here. I brought my daughter to the reception on Saturday night, and she was looking around at Emma's exhibit, and there's a lot of animals involved, a lot of symbology, and it's interesting to hear what a child takes away from that. And she's looking at some of the animals, and she was staring at this one piece. And I said, what do you think is happening there? And she came up with a whole story about a whole narrative of what had happened to this bird. And Emma, the artist, was there and was open to listening to a 9-year-old create a little story in her head about what's happening. And that's just, that's from a child's perspective. But adults do that as well, as this opportunity to look at something and build a story around it. What does it mean to you? And it's not, Emma doesn't have, a specific plot going on around her illustrations, mm-hmm. but it inspires a concept of what might be going on. There's so much action and symbology and color, so rich in color that it really inspires a narrative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that we have an image that shows like four, I'm going to call them dragons. And one of them to me reminds me of Frida, one of them, like they remind me of different queens and maybe yep. kings. And like I said, I mean, the first thing I thought about when I saw one of them was like, oh my gosh, this is Frida. This is inspired by Frida. So It's beautiful to hear that your daughter had that experience as well, where she created a full narrative around this, because it shows that, based on what we know, based on our realities, we can take these pieces of art and just let our imaginations go. And it's a way to escape, in my opinion, right? I mean, I think that after COVID-19, we were confined to our homes and we did the best that we could, right? But if you're looking for a good escape, if you're looking to just let your mind, create some stories in beautiful ways, come and get some inspiration here in our gallery. Come and interact, Janelle was saying, in a different way with the art. Yes, you can look at it online. And maybe you can start there, right? Maybe you're like, well, let me take a look and see. And then come over here and experience that difference. Experience, what it is like to look at it from the screen, and then what it really feels like to have, like you were saying, Janelle, earlier, that piece in front of you and look at the texture and look at all those little details. What are some of the mediums that she used? With Linnea, we had the fabrics and we had audiovisual. What's this gallery like, the interaction like?
Sure. Emma uses paper and ink. So she has various different types of pens, and some of them are sort of metallic in nature. But, you see from the pieces, it's very rich in color, and the depth of what you can get, sort of the quality of the paper that she uses just gives it a little bit of, texture to what's happening. It doesn't seem like it's flat on the page. It seems like it has a life. So it's really interesting to come and look. And you can get really close to it in the gallery to see all these little different fibers. And I asked her, once if she I said, well, do you, what happens if you're using ink? What if you make a mistake? You know, it's in ink. And she said, well, you know, it's just because she does it freehand, and it's just very impressive, the level of detail and the nuance to what she's created on these small pieces of paper.
How beautiful to hear that, you know, that as you're looking at it, maybe you won't even notice it, right? Like those little mistakes, but they're part of it. And isn't that life, yeah. Janelle? You know, yes. Isn't our life a combination of the things that work really well, the mistakes that we make, how we try to make them better then. So yeah, come and explore, come and connect with the arts here at HEC. And we also have another gallery. We have a third gallery, and this one's still online. And we've talked about this, Janelle, before, right? And how that online world opened up opportunities for HEC to continue to engage with everybody who's interested in the arts here in our community, but also beyond. Tell us a little bit about this exhibit that we have online, Doom Days, what it is about, and also why are we offering that one online at this point in time only?
Yeah, so Thomas Engelman, our gallery director, found great benefits to having online exhibits last year, and it provides an opportunity to allow patrons who aren't comfortable coming to campus to view something. It allows an opportunity to showcase another artist without tearing down another exhibit and putting a new one up. And it allows the students to be exposed to different types of work in the semester. So there's a lot of benefits to having this other option. And so right now you can visit Shayna Goetsch's exhibit, Doom Days, and it's mixed media, paint and other material on canvas. And the title sort of threw me for a loop, right? Doom Days, and what does that mean? And the pieces themselves, again, are this rich color. I'm seeing a pattern here and what we have in the galleries right now. It's all very rich and sort of saturated. But what I love about this virtual exhibit is that Shayna has also included a written work that accompanies what you'll see on the gallery page that gives you some insight into where her inspiration was coming from, where her mind was going into creating these pieces. And so I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I encourage you to go to read that. And that's one thing that I really love about what we have going here in the Horowitz Center is this interdisciplinary aspect of some of these presentations. You know, there's poetry accompanying visual art, and it just goes hand in hand. What inspiration is, what something can mean to the viewers, different than what it can mean to the artist. But I like to have a little bit of insight into where the artist is coming from when I'm experiencing visual art. It's easy to say, well, it can mean whatever you want it to mean, but I love to get that insight into the origin of what was created.
And what it invites us to, you know, to, like we were saying, to create in our own minds based on that. I think that's that intersection right there of what it means to the artist and then the meaning that we give it. It's what really makes it so special and so rich. And but having that perspective and having that knowledge of the artist and what they wanted to express, it's really cool. And I did read, and I encourage everybody to go and read, because once I read that, as I was looking at the different pieces, there are things that the artist, kind of like tells you to look for. And so it helped me to kind of like navigate and look through that and understand better maybe what the artist was trying to convey through all those pieces. So check it out. How do we find the galleries? Where do we find the galleries? And you know, how do we connect? How do we experience all of this? Because we're telling everybody to come, but we're not telling them where to come.
Where to come. Yes, please come. The galleries are open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. And the Rouse Company Foundation Gallery is right in the, well, I'm standing right above it at the moment, actually, right in the lobby of the Horowitz Visual and Performing Arts Center. So you can't miss that one. Just down the hall past Smith Theater, past in McEwen Hall, is the Talkin Family Art Gallery. And that is where you can find Technicolor Familiar, Emma's exhibit. And then online, please visit us at howardcc.edu/galleries. And not only can you find more information there, but you can also take a look back at all of our virtual exhibitions from last year.
And, you know, that's one benefit, Janelle, that we've talked about and said, you know, when we have posted things online, the beauty of it is that now it's accessible for longer periods of time. Whereas, you know, once you guys decided to take down the galleries downstairs, I guess, where you are, right? Upstairs for me, you guys are above me here. But once you guys decided to take those out, you know, that's it. So you have to make that time and make that space to come and take a look and interact with them. So again, there's so much, and you know, we've learned that those opportunities through COVID-19 and through adjusting through that, and it has expanded opportunities for all of us to interact with the arts, to connect in different ways. But at the same time, I think that, you know, and the most beautiful thing is that we continue to evolve and learn, you know, no matter whether we do it online or in person. So just come to HCC if you can, explore the galleries, connect with them in person, or go online and connect with our online gallery if that's your preferred way of doing and connecting right now. I know you're also excited, Janelle, because the first faculty concert is coming back after being, you know, shut down all of this time. So tell us more about that.
Yes, well, you know, I'm excited, but I don't think I'm as excited as our concert coordinators. Dr. Meng, Dr. Shannon Meng is our concert coordinator. And we have two faculty concerts this semester, sort of ramping up, starting off slow, bringing people back into the venues. And the first one is taking place on Sunday, October 17th at 4 p.m. in the Montebar Recital Hall. And that's featuring Alan Blackman, the Alan Blackman Trio. And so it's what I love about this is it includes some original work that was created sort of in response to the pandemic. And I can't wait to see what they have in store. It's bass and piano and percussion, and I can't wait to see them back in person. Our faculty are so very, very talented, and these concerts offer an opportunity for students to go see their professors, their instructors perform on campus. And the community is also looking forward to coming back and seeing music live and in person in our venues. And in case anybody is curious, we do have our current patron safety information also available online. And right now we're operating at full capacity, but face masks are required of everybody indoors on campus right now. So we are following those protocols, and we hope to see everybody. Tickets for the faculty concert can be purchased online now if you go to howardcc.edu/concerts, and that includes all of the upcoming concerts. But the first one, October 17th, 4 p.m. in the Montebar Recital Hall, and I hope to see you there, everybody.
And I do want to take a minute about that, because one thing that really stopped me was the title, right? Shalom. And mm-hmm. I know Shalom as peace. And as you very well just said, it was inspired by, a lot of it was inspired by introspection that happened throughout COVID times. So I don't know, Janelle, I just wonder if maybe you have a little more insight on that, because even though we were home, it felt very chaotic, right? That we had to be home. And so here we have this concert that says that's inspired by, you know, that confinement, and it's shalom and it's peace. So I wonder if you have a little more insight on that and maybe where that inspiration comes from.
Oh, gosh, you know, I wish I did. I wish I'd had a chance to talk to Alan about that. But because it is sort of that juxtaposition, right? I feel like people interpreted their time during the pandemic. I mean, it's still happening, just to be clear. But the time when we really had to be away from each other, away from campus, away from actually performing, people were responded in different ways, right? It's just as people respond to grief in different ways. People responded to this isolation in different ways. And it could be an opportunity to create, an opportunity to reflect. I'm looking forward to seeing what these musicians, you know, pulled together, because I think peace in some way, if I'm interpreting, would, that feels to me like making peace with where we are right now, and not sort of falling into that chaos. Like you said, it was pandemonium, right? But can we find some peace?
That's a beautiful interpretation. And that's, you know, maybe that's one way to look at it. Because you're absolutely correct. Some other people maybe found peace and not having to run around and not having to rush so much. And I know that I didn't discover that until we were back into it, right? I think we were talking about this the other day, the other morning, and I was so looking forward to just having, you know, that sense of normality again, and taking the kids to school in person and coming to work. And then when I started doing all that and realized, oh my gosh, this is a lot of work, right? I felt like my peace had been taken away, you know, that peace that I had received through the times that we didn't have to rush so much was being stripped again. And that, even though I'm excited about it and I think it's, I like it better, at the same time, it has made me really look back and appreciate what we had gained through that confinement that COVID brought. And so I'm very, very curious. It just really, really, really puzzled me when I saw the title as Shalom, because I mean, we could take this in so many different levels in so many different ways. And just in my personal life, right? That peace and that making peace of where we are at that present moment. I think that's really, really, really important. So, maybe you want to come and be part of that. Maybe you want to come and explore, you know, what that means to you. Maybe you have a different perspective, a different take on it. Maybe you are finding peace in other ways, or maybe you think that we need peace, that we are lacking peace. And unless you come to the concert, I guess, you know, you can stay on your own thoughts, but maybe you can come and just do it collectively as a, you know, a community through music, through the works and through the feelings that our faculty here at HEC want to express to you. Let's remind everybody again where to get the tickets, how to engage with the concert, and you know, safety protocols. I know you already talked a little bit about that, but I think it's really important, because I know that there are people who are really excited to come back out, but at the same time are still having a little apprehension as we continue. Like you said, you know, the pandemic is not fully gone. We have more liberties, but we need to continue to be very careful with that, so that we continue to feel safe and able to enjoy, you know, concerts and the beautiful things that we all like so much.
Yes, the concert Shalom will be taking place again Sunday, October 17th, 4 p.m. in the Montebello Recital Hall. And you can purchase tickets online at howardcc.edu/concerts. Or you can also call or visit the box office. And right now our box office hours are Wednesday and Friday from noon to 2. And so that's when you can stop by in person, or of course you can always call and leave a message. So that phone number is 443 443- 443-518-1500. That's 443-518-1500. You can call or come in person. Of course, tickets are also available the day of, as long as we're not sold out. You can arrive. We open 90 minutes before the concert, so you can just come that afternoon. I know a lot of people right now, we know, are sort of delaying their plans just to see what the world has in store. And we understand that right now. So if you are not comfortable making plans a month in advance, 2 months in advance, sales are available at the door. Wait and see what the day brings, how comfortable you are with being out in the public. But we are following the college safety procedures, and we hope that everybody's able to visit our patron safety page. That's at howardcc.edu/Horwitz Center. Under the Plan Your Visit tab, there's all kinds of information about patron safety, parking, free parking, directions. So we hope to see some people here in person in October.
Absolutely, absolutely. So just, take your time, and I appreciate that flexibility that you guys are offering, and that you just, that permission basically that you gave us to just take our time, feel and experience, this as we need, and make our decisions closer to the date if we need to, or in advance if we want to. Let's move on to dance and the dance showcase. Janelle, tell us more about that.
The dance showcase. So yes, last year we brought fantastic virtual performances from the dance department. Liz Higgins and Darian Smith are our full-time dance faculty members, and they lead these fantastic productions. And they were so successful in pivoting to create these beautiful dance for the camera productions. But this year, we are excited to bring people back into the theater for live performances in Smith Theater. So the Fall HCC Dance Showcase is going to be taking place on October 29th and October 30th. And that will feature the work of faculty and students and guest artists. So it's an opportunity to see dance at multiple levels. It's fantastic that our students get to work alongside not only our own faculty members, but invited artists who come in and set work on our students. And to be able to perform back in Smith Theater with a live audience is going to be a treat. But what's special about this is that we are also offering a live stream of these performances so that people who are not able to attend in person, not comfortable attending in person, or just out of the geographic region. We've heard from students that it's been a delight for their, friends and family, grandma in Arizona, to be able to log in and watch, students' performances, watch them succeed from far away. That's sort of been a silver lining to these virtual opportunities. So those performances will be on Friday the 29th at 3 p.m. and Saturday the 30th at 7 p.m. in Smith Theater. And you can choose a virtual ticket, in-person ticket. Either way, you'll get to enjoy these beautiful dance productions.
And I just want to say that if you've been to our main page, howardcc.edu, you may have to refresh the page a couple times if you don't get that picture the first time. But there's a striking picture of a dance performance, and they're all wearing masks, and their posture, it's just so powerful. It's such a powerful picture. It's a still picture, it's a still image. But if you go and you see that picture, I think that it gives you an impression, and it gives you just a little bit of a flavor of what this performance is, how strong they are, and it just how much you get from them. I mean, this one image speaks so much to me, and we would need another hour just to talk about that one image that's on our main page right now, Janelle.
I think the photograph was taken during convocation. I believe that's the performance by Darian Smith, our faculty member, And his piece that was performed in August, that was part of our convocation as we returned for the semester. So yeah, it's just striking.
It's just really powerful. And so if a still image of this full piece can be so powerful, just imagine what coming in and enjoying, or watching from home and enjoying, you know, this pieces of work, this pieces of art where people are putting their hearts out. That's what calls me to the arts, is the fact that we can express ourselves many times without saying a word, just, you know, using our bodies. And I think that's one of the beauties that we've talked about, Janelle, about dancing for the camera before, where, you know, when you're in the theater, you see the movements large and from far away, and there's, you know, but that energy that you connect with in that stage, in that setting. But at the same time, you know, the enjoyment that you can get from just watching it in that screen closer to you, where that's something that you wouldn't get from coming here. So maybe, you know, on the first presentation, you come to the theater, and then the second one you watch online so you can experience it both ways and see which one you like better. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here, but it is different experiences, and you get a lot from either way. So, you know, so come.
That's the
come
joy of live performance, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and in the past, I've had the opportunity to come. It's like a movie, or it's like anything else that's out there that's in the arts. If you go and watch it that first time, you're experiencing it for the first time, and you might miss some things, but maybe you go and watch it that second time, and now it hits you different, because now you're able to catch other details that maybe you missed that first time because it was just a new thing, a new experience, and you're trying to take it all in. So nothing wrong with watching it more than once, nothing wrong with coming more than once and experience it, you know, and maybe, like I said, in different ways, if that's something that you want to do. And Janelle, just remind us again of the website for the Horowitz Center so that people can go and look at the calendar and just, you know, start planning how many times they're going to come and see the different things and how many ways they can interact with them as well.
Yes, yes. Please visit howardcc.edu/Horowitz Center. And I want to mention from that's our homepage for the Horowitz Center. But then if you scroll down just a little bit, there's a button that will take you to the fall season. And if you click on our season page, then you'll see everything that's coming up chronologically in order. And you can, you know, pick and choose what you want to visit. It has a direct link to the virtual art exhibit, and it has links to purchase tickets for dance and music and theater productions coming up. So you can, you know, visit howardcc.edu/Horowitz Center, and it's your one-stop shop for, you know, planning your arts enrichment for the semester. And you know, I would also mention faculty and staff, pay attention to that 3 p.m. Friday performance of the dance showcase, because I know, you know, some faculty and staff, you know, when you leave work for the day or for the week, it can be a struggle. Some people don't live, you know, really in the vicinity of the college. So if you're able to take a long lunch on Friday, the 29th, and stop by to take in this dance showcase, it would be a treat for a Friday.
That sounds like a great plan for everybody here at HCC. I'm going to call this a pandemic baby, because this was an inspiration, you know, of how do we connect? How do we connect with our audiences? How do we continue to connect with our community? And that's how the film discussions were born. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this was a pandemic baby, Janelle, in an effort to really connect with our community. And the upcoming series is centered around food, and that's why we're calling it Foodies. So tell us a little more about that.
You are absolutely 100% correct that this is a pandemic baby that is now, it's a pandemic toddler. And we have developed a series of discussions. Marie Westhaver Who is our coordinator of film alongside our other faculty member, Mike Giuliano, who you know from At the Movies, developed this discussion series in lieu of what we had been doing prior to COVID, the film festivals, International Film Festival in the fall, Diversity Film Festival in the spring. And in talking about how to pivot, how to adapt, Marie came up with this lovely idea of a film discussion club where the real event is just a discussion about the film, which, you know, people didn't always stick around for when we had the, you know, showing of a film in person. So this really engages the participants. What she has done is selected films that are available for viewing, for streaming through common streaming apps or for rent at the library. And you watch them in advance and then, you know, pick and choose which titles you want to, you're going to watch the movies and sign up for the 7 p.m. Zoom on a Friday night and participate in a discussion and get some real insight from experts, from Marie and from Mike and sometimes some special guests, and get some, you know, some insight into the film. Like we were saying sort of about getting the visual artists' take on their inspiration for a piece helps you understand and put visual art into context. Mike and Marie do the same thing for these films. They can give information about, you know, the context of how it was produced, when it was produced, the writer, director, how locations were chosen. It's really interesting to hear some of their stories and dig deep into these films. And of course, you mentioned the theme this semester is food. So we are at the Foovies, and that's on a Friday night. There's nothing better than to sit down with a nice snack and talk about a film. So upcoming in October, I was looking at the series of titles that we have coming up in October. There's five Fridays in October. We've got Midnight Diner, Chef, Dough, Ramen Shop, and Chocolat. And I mean, it sounds like a feast.
All the way through dessert.
All the way through dessert, exactly. You have dough, you have ramen, you have chocolate. It's all in there. And so you can visit howardcc.edu/filmfestivals, and that will take you to the page where you can look at all the upcoming titles and get the information about, you know, the length and where you can stream them, and then register in advance. You do need to register in advance so that you can get the Zoom link and then join everybody on that Friday night at 7.
And if you just want to get a little bit of a flavor of what you can expect when you come to one of those conversations, check out our podcast. Go to dragondigitalradio.podbean.com, find At the Movies. And I think you're going to find Marie's and Mike's perspective really, really deep and interesting. I mean, they, you know, the knowledge that they have. And then sometimes Mike will just come up and say, yo, I had the opportunity to interview so-and-so, and I, you know, I was sitting there and I did this and I did that. And so you get a truly deep perspective of the film itself. And like, you know, like Janelle was saying, not just what you go and experience and what you go and watch, but really the backstory and you know, the time frame that I've come to learn through their conversations that is so important, you know, the perspectives, the actual goal of the director, like the emotions that they're trying to evoke. And I personally love it when Mike doesn't like the film because it becomes such a rich conversation. So hopefully some of these films are not some of his favorites, because in my opinion, that just throws the conversation into and he loves it when people disagree with him. He absolutely loves it when people, you know, disagrees with him and because it just makes for that much more engaging of a conversation. So check it out. Be part of the conversation. Foovies, check out the titles, watch them ahead of time, and come be part of that conversation. I think you're going to find it very, very interesting and very entertaining as well. It's a great way to spend your Friday evening. This upcoming weekend, Janelle, we have a big celebration. We've talked about, you know, the arts here in the college, but Howard County itself, it's a big county that supports the arts. And I know that we have a big celebration this weekend that we want to make sure that everybody knows about and everybody engaged with. So tell us a little more about what's happening and what people should be looking forward to and marking the calendars for this weekend.
Yes, this Saturday is the Howard County Arts Council's annual fundraiser, the Celebration of the Arts in Howard County. And this event is an annual event that we have hosted here at the college for a number of years, and we were unable to host them this fall, but the event is taking place across the way at the Jim Rouse Theater at Wild Lake High School. And the event is just spectacular because it honors the arts in Howard County, visual art, performing arts. And the evening begins at 7 o'clock. The program begins at 7 o'clock, and tickets are still on sale, both for in-person and virtual attendance. And what's really exciting about this is that there's a silent auction that will be available online, and it doesn't close just that night. I believe it's up through October 10th. You have to check the website to be sure, but it's an opportunity for you to bid on some art, and the artists' portion of the proceeds money goes to the Arts Council that they in turn turn back into grants for arts organizations in the county. And the program itself is exciting because it features not only the Rising Stars competition, which awards an up-and-coming performing artist in the community, but also Howie Awards that honors arts educators, arts supporters, and just the artists in the community. A number of our faculty members have received Howie Awards in the past as outstanding artist in the community. Dr. Shen-In Ming was awarded a Howie last year, and a number of our students have also participated in the Rising Stars competition over the years. So it's an event we really like to be a part of, and we're grateful for that it's in the county, that there's so much support for the arts in the county.
A beautiful celebration that I've been able to participate in previous years. And I invite everybody to go and take part of it. It really is a celebration. It really allows you to interact with this up and coming artist and to celebrate those who have already walked a little farther in their paths, in their careers. But I mean, really just a good opportunity to come together, celebrate the arts, and connect, right? I know, yeah. We've talked about this before and how the arts bring us together. Well, this event has that capability of just bringing us together in person if you are comfortable doing that. Janelle, we've talked about the art galleries. We've talked about dance. We've talked about the music. You know, we've talked about this big celebration. How can we take this and continue to connect with the arts? How can we stay on top of everything? Because it is. Our department here at HEC is really trying to make sure that we have this space to come in, like we've been saying all morning today, express our emotions, allow our emotions to flourish through the works of maybe somebody else, through our own experiences, in the safe spaces of beauty, of pain, of challenge sometimes. So how can we stay connected with everything that's happening here in the arts, and how can we become active participants of that?
Yes, please. Join us, follow us on Facebook if you can, facebook.com/Horowitz Center, and we have information up on there about upcoming events, and we love to see comments, questions. If you are a student who's curious about the arts, please know you do not have to be a major in the arts in order to participate in the arts here during your HCC experience, please, you know, visit us even in the division office if you have questions about taking classes, even if it's, you know, for next semester, how we do audition to be in a play. Let us know how you would like to be involved and we will point you in the right direction. And we really are looking forward to seeing our patrons come back. We know that one of the reasons that people choose to live in Howard County is because of the rich experiences there are within the community and in the arts. And we're just fortunate to be part of that experience for everybody. So please come back, reconnect with us. We want to reconnect with you. Visit us online, howardcc.edu/Horowitz Center. Plan your visit. Call the box office if you have any questions. Again, that's 443-518-1500. And we hope to see you.
Absolutely. We do hope to see you. It is a joy to just be here on campus and see students again and see coworkers again. Personally, I've met so many people who work here at the college just online. And then when I see them just out and about on campus, like I want to go and hug them. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so nice to meet a full person, not just a face on a screen. So come and interact, come and reconnect here with the arts at HCC. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful feeling. It's a great opportunity. And I know that Janelle and everybody else there at the Horry Center, it's really trying to make it safe and enjoyable for you and all of your family. Janelle, thank you so much for this time. And thank you so much for spending this morning with me. I really appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for listening, for watching, for connecting with us, for sharing this with all of your friends and family on Facebook, YouTube, and beyond. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And until next time, I am Cris Oviedo. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.